When we choose to go our own way in life, we never fare well in our endeavors. Our selfishness and our sinful nature causes us to go astray, and we end up hurting ourselves.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The topic title of this episode is Choosing God.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Someone once said to me, quote, "I will never serve a God who threatens me with hell if I don't love him," unquote. I don't understand how someone can believe or even think that God threatens anyone with hell unless they love him. God is laying before each and every person a choice. When I was a young boy, I read a comic strip in the Sunday paper by Charles M. Schulz. You remember him, the guy that did Peanuts. In it, Charlie Brown was speaking to Snoopy, telling the dog how he appreciated his friendship. Charlie Brown went rambling on about how Snoopy never left his side and how he could always count on the dog being with him no matter what day it was, no matter what the weather. It was a sure thing that Snoopy would be with him no matter what. However, the last frame of the comic shows Charlie Brown dragging poor Snoopy, who is fighting tooth and nail to get away from him. Is that love? Is that friendship? Is that a relationship of any kind? No. That's a demanding, controlling relationship. And Charlie Brown was fooling himself into believing that Snoopy wanted to be there with him. That's not how God presents his invitation to us. God wants us to choose to be with him by accepting a relationship with Jesus Christ, because God is revealed through the character of Jesus. When we choose to be with God, we express true love. And God, well, he's the best friend anyone can have. To live with God means that you are living in his word. It means you are living in obedience to his word. And that in turn means to be living a life filled with God's blessings. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 clearly defines this. "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." This scripture is not a threat. It's a warning, and there is a big difference. God wants us today to know, just as he did the Hebrews, that his way is the best way. Being the author of life, God has the answers as to how to live it. There's nothing better than getting the instruction book from the one who invented the thing you're trying to use. And life is no small thing. It is the most precious thing that anyone could possess. When we choose to go our own way in life, we never fare well in our endeavors. Our selfishness and our sinful nature causes us to go astray, and we end up hurting ourselves and perhaps even others along the way. Now, we do this with the best intentions in most cases. We don't set out to hurt anybody, especially ourselves. But without God, we end up unfulfilled. And that in itself is hurtful. Take children for an example. When you're teaching a child a lesson, it's very important that they pay attention to what you are saying to them. Now, if a person is not focused on what is being said to them, they will miss important, vital information. Sometimes as a parent, okay, most of the time as a parent, I have to say something to my child over and over again until he actually hears what I am saying. Then, after he hears what I am saying and understands what I am saying to him, he still may not obey my wishes out of his own choice. And sometimes his disobedience can lead him into trouble for himself, or for me, or for both of us, or for the whole family. It just depends on what he's getting into at the moment. Here's what the scripture says about this pertaining to us, the children of God. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. See how God tells us to meditate on it? Not just once, not just twice, but night and day. You can't pick up God's word and read a few verses and try to live your life with a few promises here and there. Just as children have to be told more than once to get their full focus and their full understanding, so must a child of God fill themselves with God's instructions. Otherwise, how do we know what God wants us to do? How do we know how to live if we don't listen to him through his word? God's word is a way of life. God's word is the essence of his being. As we read his word, we are filling ourselves with his spirit. We are filling ourselves with his commands. We are learning of him and his nature. My mom always told me, don't hang around the wrong people because you'll start acting like them. As you read the word of God, you are hanging around God. And as you hang around him, you become more like him. The first man, Adam, he was created into a world that had no sin in it. Even Adam himself was sinless in the beginning. Imagine if we had a sinless world right now. No sin whatsoever anywhere in the world. Well, you don't have to imagine it. It was real. And the scriptures tell us what it was like. Genesis chapter 2 verses 15 through 25. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all of the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and unite to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were naked, and they felt no shame. Now, these verses portray a closeness with God that none of us has ever experienced, because we still live in a world filled with sin. At this point in time, Adam was a sinless man, and he was as close as anybody living could get to God. Remember, sin separates us from God. And the less sin you have in your life, the closer to God you become. Imagine for a moment a sinless man in a sinless world with God. The sinless nature of the first man brought closeness to God, such a closeness that God took care of the man on a very personal level. These verses show us that God took care of the man's every need. God provided the garden for the man to eat food. Imagine how beautiful and huge this garden must have been. The trees were untouched by sinful man at the time. They must have grown fruit that was more tasty than any one of us could ever imagine, and not to mention nutritious. He also provided the man a purpose by commanding him to take care of the garden. You know, we all need something to wake up to in the morning. We all need something. I mean, if you don't have a purpose in your life, what's the reason to get out of bed? God gave Adam a reason to get up in the morning, to take care of the garden. And unlike our tedious, boring, unfulfilling jobs that we have today, and I'm not speaking for everybody, I love my job. I love the job that God has given me. But I'm talking about the jobs that most people pick for themselves. Statistics show that they don't like their jobs. But God gave Adam his job. God gave me my job. I love what I'm doing for God. It fulfills me. And I know that taking care of the garden fulfilled Adam. On top of fulfilling Adam's need of purpose, God also created a woman right out of Adam's own flesh to be his helper. That was another need that God fulfilled. And I like the way God took all the animals to Adam and allowed him to go through all of the animals to find a suitable helper, knowing beforehand that Adam wasn't going to be able to find anything that was going to be a suitable helper for himself. See, God let Adam see for himself that you're not going to find what you need, but I, God, I am going to take control of this situation, and I am going to give you what you need. It's very clear that only God can give us everything we want and need. Sometimes we, as people, we don't even know what we want or need. There's things that in the past that I thought that I had to buy, and I just had to have it now. Maybe it was on sale, and I got suckered into believing that I needed it, and I bought it. And once I got it home, the thrill wore off, and I decided, you know, I really didn't need this. I really don't even really want it. I mean, we really don't always know what we want or need. And God let Adam find that out. Now, the most important thing that I want to speak about in this verse right now, because it pertains to this teaching, is that God provided freedom of choice for the man by commanding him not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Notice the scripture says God commanded Adam. But unlike our own human nature to control our surroundings, God let the man choose to disobey him. When Adam did eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God was not standing over him trying to take the fruit away. Genesis chapter 3 verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. You see, God did not forcibly stop Adam from making his choice. Unlike Charlie Brown dragging poor Snoopy along with him, God allowed Adam to walk away from him. And as you read on in Genesis, you will see that a separation from God eventually brings hardships, suffering, and spiritual death. We as people were made by God to be with God and not separated from Him. But because God loves us so much, He gives us a choice to be with Him. Do you know of somebody who is badgering you to be their friend? Demanding that you be their friend? If you don't be their friend, there's going to be a consequence to pay. Do you know of someone like that? Perhaps it's not in your own life. Perhaps you're witnessing it in someone else's life. That's not love. I honestly believe that if you love something, you let it go. And if it comes back to you, then it's yours to love, and it loves you. But if it doesn't come back, then don't force it. In the world we live in now, we are constantly bombarded by sinful thoughts, actions, and of course, the sins of others. As we read our Bibles and meditate on the scriptures, we begin to hear what God is saying to us. And once we get the message, we must make a choice on whether or not we want to obey. Just like a child. Child may get the message, but they may choose to disobey. We're children in the eyes of God. Now, obeying God is not always easy, especially in a world filled with sin. At times, it takes great courage to obey God. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." Joshua was warned by God, but also promised by God that he would be taken care of if only he remained strong and courageous. And Joshua could only remain strong and courageous through his faith in God. Without faith in God, you won't be strong enough to endure. Joshua faced a multitude of problems. And sometimes when we find ourselves in trouble, we want to do things our way. Only because we don't understand what God is up to, or simply we don't believe that what he tells us to do will work. God tells us what to do in every aspect of our life, and we can find out what those things to do are by reading his word. But we don't always believe those things will work, or we'll make some excuse up. Well, I know what the Bible says about this topic, but you know something? It just won't work in this situation. Well, how do you know? Have you even tried it? Adam must not have believed God, or he would not have allowed himself to disobey. Remember, the devil can't make you do anything you don't decide to do. He can only tempt you to make a choice. But ultimately, that choice is all yours. The devil didn't force Adam to eat the apple. He didn't force Eve to eat the apple. You know, sometimes we want to blame everybody else for our sins. Adam tried to blame Eve. When God confronted him about the sin, the first thing he said, it was that woman you placed there in the garden with me. You know, sometimes we just want to do the wrong thing. Joshua 24, verse 15. "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." See, Joshua was telling the people the choice is yours. But he was also letting them know that he was choosing God. I believe that was a choice of love. Some people don't make that choice out of love, but out of selfish desires. Look what Jesus says about people who come to him, but when trouble or temptations arise, these people fall away. Listen to what Jesus says when it comes to making a decision about following him. Luke chapter 8, verses 10 through 15. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand. I want to stop right there and clarify that Jesus wasn't trying to hide anything from anyone. He was simply saying that anybody who is not choosing to accept his message, they would not see. And anyone who was choosing not to hear his message, they would not understand it. Because when you come to God with a closed mind, he's not going to reveal anything about himself to you. You think about that in your own life. I'm sure that we've all had somebody in our life that tried to get into our business, but they weren't our friend. Are you going to share your business with somebody who is not your friend, perhaps even an enemy? If your enemy wanted to know something personal about you, would you share it with them? Jesus was clearly saying, look, if you're not with me, you are not going to understand what I have to say, and you are not going to see the vision I have for the world, because you're not accepting it. Now, we're going to pick up in verse 11 of Luke chapter 8. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. I have had people tell me that if God did not get them out of a certain predicament that their own sins got them into, that they would no longer serve them. I have also been told by people that if God doesn't make them rich and rich soon, or take care of all of their bills and take care of all of their money needs, they were going to try another religion. This is not a choice of love. God is not a genie. But you know, the worst thing a person can do is not make a choice at all. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. These people were caught between the decision of serving the one and only true God and serving a false made-up God. Luke 16, verse 13, no servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, in this scripture, Jesus is talking about the evils of serving money, but money in itself is not an evil thing to possess, as long as money doesn't possess you and you're not serving money. Do you know of someone right now who is standing in the middle of their decision for God? One day they're living for the Lord, and the next they're living for themselves. When they're around their Christian friends, they speak of biblical things, and when they're around their secular, worldly friends, they're having things come out of their mouth that no Christian should say. Do you know of someone like that? Could it be you? James chapter 1, verses 23 through 30. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. It's a choice, my friends. And God is asking all of us, Christians and non-Christians alike, to serve him. This is an invitation. And you know, it's not just a choice for today, but it's a choice for every day. Answer the call of God. Arm yourself with God's Word. Study it daily and ask God daily what you can do for Him. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as the full payment for your sins, and you would like to make that choice right now, then say this prayer with me. God, I have sinned against you. I owe a debt I can never repay. I turn from my sins right now and I face you, God, and I accept Jesus as my payment to you for my sins. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, God. Amen. If you just said that prayer and meant it in your heart, if you just made that choice out of your own free will, you are now in the family of God.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. Again, that address is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. Again, that's www.awordfromgod.net. We have every episode of A Word from God archived online where you can easily listen to them. You can also subscribe to our feed and download the MP3 versions of A Word from God to enjoy at any time. There's even a section online that explains salvation. And if you know someone who isn't saved and wants to know more, just send them a link to the website. You just might be saving their eternal life by doing so. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. For any donation amount that you send, we will send you a free copy of the DVD, Praise and Promises. This video features a collection of paraphrased Bible promises that will help you start your day with praise and worship. Again, this video will be sent to you absolutely free when you donate any amount to this ministry. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley. And it is our prayer that God will bless you immensely from this message.